Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We are in the house of the Lord again. And as always, the entrance of your word brings light. And we know, Lord Jesus, that our light is going to shine. The Bible says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Amen. Bring in the beauty, of the light, of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Now, this morning, you may be seated, and I'm going to go through this part two from last week. Last week, we talked about God is our dwelling place. And today, I'm going to talk about God's dwelling place. Amen. Amen. And in the message last week, if you remember, and I'm going to point to that somewhere in this message, that when those two things, when your dwelling place and God's dwelling place become one and the same, a spiritual explosion is going to take place. Amen. Amen. So God's dwelling place today, let's start at Isaiah chapter 66. And let's see the question that the Lord posed to the people here. Isaiah chapter 66. And the Lord would say here, he said, the heaven, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. But where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? And so God is asking this question, where is God's dwelling place? You know, his throne is heaven. The earth is his footstool. But where is his dwelling place, really? Where is the place where he chooses to dwell? Amen. Amen. Now, there are some scriptures that I will go through quickly in the Old Testament, pointing to what God said about the place that he chooses to put his name there. But I will show that this was a pattern of things to come. Now we see in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and verse 5. The Lord said, look, there is a place that I have chosen to put my name there. Unto the place that the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. You know, even unto his habitation shall you seek. So, you know, in those days, you know, they looked to, you know, some place where they thought the God was and so on. You know, whether it was Jerusalem or wherever it was, you know, one time it was Shiloh, you know, and so on and so forth. Whatever the Lord did, you know, but it was always a pattern of things to come. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 2. Now, again, this one was talking about something else, but it also mentioned the place. He said, look, when you want to do a special offering and when you want to meet with God, you know, go to the place that the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes of the places to put his name there. So he was always referring. There are many other scriptures that talk about that, but I'm going to just leave it at those two, you know, for the sake of time. God was always pointing in the Old Testament, in the olden days, to some place that he chose to put his name there, you know, and then said, well, you know, and everybody kind of looked at that over down through the years. They've looked at, you know, there's a place, you know, where God will meet with us and so forth. You know, now, you know, even in Exodus chapter 25, when God was talking to Moses about, you know, crafting the mercy seat, the ark, and all of these things, you know, he said in Exodus 25 and verse 40, here's something that the Lord said. He said, look, all these things that you are doing, make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. So I want to point out that God showed him a pattern. But it was a pattern of things really to come. We find that out in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. We're told that all of those things that they did was really a shadow of things to come. But I want to talk about something very special about God. There are some paradoxes in which the Lord chooses to operate. You know, for instance, the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. The universes and anything that you can think of. He made them all. Hallelujah. Yet, this is a great paradox, that when he came down here to the earth, there was no place found for him at all. Yet he created all things. And if you read the second verse of Isaiah 66, where we started, he said, look, my hands have made all things. So what is it that you're, what is it you're going to really build for me, seeing that my hands have made all these things? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, but people have always looked to some location, some building, whatever it is, you know, for the Lord. Well, Jesus would set the record straight. When he was talking to the woman in John chapter 4 at the well, he said, look, you know, forget about Jerusalem or all these other places and so forth. He said, the hour is coming and now is, that the true worshippers of God, you know, neither yet in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, nor whatever else you think, you know, where he said he would put his name there before, you know, but in spirit and in truth. The true worshippers of God will now worship God anywhere in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to this account of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And Stephen was telling, I mean, he preached the gospel. He started from way back when Abraham and all of these people and brought it way down to David, how David wanted to build a house to the Lord and how the Lord said, well, you're not going to do it and so forth. And then he told him that his son would do it. And he just told all these wonderful stories. But listen to this part here, Acts chapter 7 and verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that you should make it after the fashion that he had seen, which is what we just briefly read in Exodus 25 and 40. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with, that's really Joshua, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Now, this David, he found favor before God, and he desired to find and build a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. You know, but God told him he wouldn't do it. So Solomon built him a house, you know, and Solomon built this tremendous house. I mean, it was great, you know, and so forth like that. I mean, David made preparations. Solomon himself did, and all the people built, and it was tremendous. You know, even the Queen of Sheba came and she said, wow, you know, the half was not even told me. You know, of all the beauty of your house, your ascent to the house and all of these things, and the house of the Lord and everything. So he did all that. Okay. But listen to this. Verse 48. How be it, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. As also said the prophet, heaven is my throne. That's the one we read in Isaiah 66. And the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you built for me? And where is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made these things? So God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. But yet, folks, here is the paradox. You know, continuing the paradox. Even that church is a building. But not this kind of building that has brick and mortar. Amen? You say it's a building? Yes, because Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen? So that makes it a building. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, he said that. We know that in Matthew 16. But because of building the church, you know, people are always looking to a building. Well, it is a building, but not that kind. But what kind is it? Well, that's the one we want to get into very quickly today. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, that we are God's building. And this is the building that God himself is making. It's in another place in Hebrews, it's called the tabernacle which God pitched and not man. You know, this is the building that God is building, and is going to inhabit this building through the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in that building, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Yeah. Because the foundation is the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the peace that holds everything together. We spoke a little about this last Sunday, so I'm just going through this quickly. But let's look at some of the paradox continued. When Jesus was born, he was born into the house of a carpenter. How many of you know that Joseph was a carpenter? Amen. That's right. In fact, they used to say, well, where does this man have all these things? You know, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? They thought he was Joseph's son. Are his sisters and his brothers, James, Judas, Joseph, and all these people, are they not here with us? Where then does he have all these things? You know, so the paradox continued. So because he came in the house of a carpenter, maybe when he was a kid, he learned how to do some carpentry and whatever and so forth. You know, so, you know, every time he talk about building, well, he say, well, he's a carpenter. So maybe he'll build something very nice. Are you still with me, folks? You know, because Jesus and the Spirit of God, he does that. You know, he'll put something out there so that people will, you know, go right over it and they'll miss what God is talking about. You know, and people think that, oh, well, he's a carpenter, so, you know, maybe it is because of that he was a carpenter, and that may, perhaps he's going to craft something, maybe he's going to build something. Yeah, he is building something, but not that one with wood and nails and so forth. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Yes, that's not the place that God is building to dwell in. He's building, he's already laid the foundation through the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And the Bible says that God is making that place for himself so that he can live there. Amen. Amen. So let me read that to you. I'll give you the scriptures, but I just want to read it real quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, in case you say, well, is that really in the scriptures? Yes, it is. Ephesians chapter 2, let me start at verse 19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And every time you hear house or building, people think of some building like this, you know, but that's not what God's talking about. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, if you remove that foundation, well, the Bible says if the foundation be broken, well, where will the righteous, you know, what can the righteous do? So if you remove that foundation, or you take Jesus Christ out of the equation, the whole thing is going to crumble. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. That's right. Because Jesus Christ is that stone that holds everything together. And the work of the apostles and the prophets, they were there because God ordained it, and that's the foundation. And you got to stay with those teachings and those words that the apostles laid down by the grace of God. Now, so in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Remember, he keeps talking about building, building, building. You know, so people think of some building. In whom ye also are building. How many times are you going to say building? So we see that the church is a building, but it's not made of brick. It's not made of, windows like this and so forth. You know, it is the redeemed, the saints of the Lord in whom the Spirit of God will dwell. Amen. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. That's God's dwelling place. The habitation of God through the Spirit. But how does that happen? Well, it's a tremendous thing. You know, this thing. I mean, God, you know, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Amen, folks? You know, the whole universe, he's bigger than the universe. The universe actually is just like inside his belly. I mean, he's bigger than everything. So, you know, I mean, what? Where are you going to fit? How can you fit God into any place, really? You know, because he's bigger than everything put together. You know, so, you know, and listen to this. The wonder of the grace of God. He puts it out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 6. And this is the beauty of what God is doing. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, you know, this glory of God, God who is the immortal God, you know,
the immortal light of destiny. God, who is the eternal flame. Hallelujah.
It's also the consuming fire, you know.
And God, who is all of these things, the great, the Lord of hosts is his name. That very God, he will dwell and has chosen to dwell in the people of the Lord. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? All the power that is in the universe, Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. You know, and everything that God has, you know, the greatness of God, and he can drop down. See, and he wants to be, you know, he chose, you know, the church. And that's a place that he chose. Now, last week we talked about our own dwelling place in the Lord. And I said, when this dwelling place, when our dwelling place and God's dwelling place, when those two meet, it's kind of like, when they just meet, there's a fusion. There's something tremendous that takes place. Just a recap of some scriptures from last week. In the book of Psalm 71 and verse 3, he said, the Lord is my strong habitation. Amen. Amen. So that's our dwelling place. Psalm 91 and verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we see that all of that is going together, you know. And then Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 says, for in God, in him we move, in him we live, and in him we have our being. Amen. So that's our dwelling place, you know. And God's dwelling place, he chose for us to be the place that he has chosen to put his name there. You know, in the Old Testament, all those things he did was a type. But what he's doing now is he's now showing God. The Bible says God will show at the end of the age, the dispensation of the fullness of times. He's going to gather everything together in Christ. And who really is Christ? Well, Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his body. You know, so if you want to think of the fullness of God dwelleth in Christ bodily, you know, that's the Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. You know, that's also a type of God dwelling bodily in the church. Amen. Now that may seem a little far-fetched, but you know, unless the scripture is broken, which it cannot be. Because the Bible says that Jesus is a foretype. He is the firstborn among many brethren. So, you know, whatever the Lord did in Christ, he intended to do in bringing many sons unto glory. Amen? Amen. So all of us together form the body of Christ. And Christ is the head. You know, so we expect that the place, you know, because that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So the place that God chose at the first also, when Christ began to come, you know, in the New Testament, he began to show us that that's the place that God has chosen to dwell in. But then Jesus began to show us something different. He said, look, when I go away, you know, I'm going to send another comforter. He's going to be with you and so forth. And then he began to show them, you know, how that, you know, we can trust in the Lord for his indwelling. He said, the Spirit of God that I will send, the Comforter, when he comes, he said, you know, he will dwell in you. Even though he was with you before, he's going to now be in you. And Jesus began to show them how it was and so forth like that. You know, so we see that this dwelling place of God was man. That's the real intention for God. Now, we go back to Genesis, just like we did last week. We went back to Genesis and looked at the beginning when God made man. You see, God, when it was time, when he wanted to reproduce himself, you know, he chose man. You know, but when he wanted to do it in man, he went to the dust of the earth. The Bible said that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Now, if God would have taken, I don't know, maybe the most precious things, I don't know, whatever we might have thought, you know, and say, oh, well, maybe we accomplished that by ourselves. But God went to the dust. He took of the dust, you know, Genesis 2:7, and formed the man out of the dust, and he breathed into him, and that's when he became a living soul. And we see that till today, we are told that that great treasure of God being in a person, a regenerated being, that treasure, God designed it like that so that it will be in something that he picked initially out of the dust. He called the earthen vessels because he wants to get all the glory. Praise you, the name of the Lord. Now, there is something about the transformation, you know, and the glory of God. In the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, we read that song that Moses was singing, and he said, I will prepare God an habitation. I'm going to prepare him an habitation. Well, let's look at it this way. You know, if you knew that somebody, you know, really important, or somebody was, you're going to have an important guest or something in your house, they're coming to spend some time, you know, what would you do? You'd probably clean out your house, get the guest apartment in chalet or whatever, you get it ready and get it all cleaned out. I mean, you don't want them to come and find your house in shambles, would you? You know, so when God wants to come and make his dwelling place, praise ye the name of the Lord, in us, how should we do that then? Well, listen to this in the book of John chapter 14. And let me read verse 23. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So it starts by you keeping his words. That's how you begin to make a preparation and begin to make a, you know, a place ready for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the Lord, he dwells in us according to the measure of the word of God that we have in us. If you don't have the word of the Lord, you know, and so forth, you know, Jesus said it over and over in John chapter 15. He said, look, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So there is, you know, there is this thing coming together. You abiding in him and he dwelling in you. My, when those two things happen, then we begin to walk with God. The Bible says that Enoch, he walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, the summary of this is as follows. When Christ came the first time, they didn't find any place for him anywhere. You know, there was even no place for him in the inn. He ended up being born in a manger, you know, where they had the horses and so on, and all that. And the Lord today is still asking the same question. Where is the habitation that you make ready for me? Where is the place of my rest, or where is my dwelling place? Will the Lord find a place in your life? That's the question today. And this is more than just, you know, last week. You have to go back if you were not here last week and listen to that message. You know, this is more than just, oh, well, I received Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. You know, look, Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. Well, you could let him in if you wanted. You could give him the key, but you could say, look, when you come in, you know, I mean, like in my house, there are some places where, you know, I say, hey, this place is out of bounds or out of limits or whatever. I don't want these little kids, you know, running all over there and so forth, you know. So you could say to the Lord, when you come on in, here's the door to the house, but this part of my life, this part of my house, you can't have it. You can't go in there. My marriage, You can't go in there. My finances, there's a room in your house that's called finances. You know, and even though you let him in the front door, you lock that room. Can't go in there. There's this one called my marriage. You lock that room, you can't go in there. And then this one also called, you know, my character. You know, I'm always bitter and angry and I choose to be that way. You lock that room up, you can't go in there, Lord. Well, what good is he really going to do in that house then? Because, you know, you let him in, but he can't go into all of these places. But if you're going to let him in, then let him have that wonderful master key that opens every door. Amen. In the house. Amen. Amen. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
In fact, before he comes, open all the door wide. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And give him free course. And give him free control. You know. So I love to say that. I know some people don't understand it when I say that. Look, God is in control only of the things that you allow him to be in control of. You know, he may be in control, and he is in control of things that relate to his eternal purpose. There is nothing anybody can do about that. But in your individual lives, if you decide to lock up an area of your life and don't want God to have any part of it, he's not going to have control of it. You may say God is in control all you want, you know, but if you don't give control, if you don't turn control over to him, he's not in control of that area of your life. Amen. You know, so you must turn it over to him. That's why even at the door, he's not going to break down the door, knock the door down to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, you're going to have to give him the key to come on in. And make sure the key that you give to him does not work only sections of the house. Make sure the key works every part of the house. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
That's when his dwelling place is your entire life. You know, his dwelling place is not just, oh, some part of my heart. You know, I give my heart to, you know, to the Lord, you know, and so forth like that. What really does that mean? God wants every part of your being. Praise ye the Lord. Every part of your being. Even the tongue, the electric tongue, which no man can control. You know, it's a set on the fire of hell if you are not careful. We preached on that also, the deadly poison. Gonna have to listen to that, you know, and so on. You know, if you don't give the Lord control over that area of your life, you know, you're just prone to saying things that hurt people and so forth like that. Or just say anything you want because you don't want the Lord to have that part, that control over that part of your life. Well, you know, then I don't really know if he has full habitation in that place, you know. But God's dwelling place is, he wants it to be our entire lives. He wants us to turn the whole thing over to him. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He can feel, and he does feel, the heavens of heavens. He feels the universe, and he does all that. But he's chosen the sons of men that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He has chosen that those lives to be his dwelling place. And if we give and turn everything over to him, just like he wanted, and if we let not only, you know, that happen in our lives, but we ourselves make the Lord our own habitation, then when those two things collide, you're dwelling in him and he's dwelling in you, then you can ask whatsoever you will, John chapter 15 and verse 7, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
If ye abide in me and I am abiding in you through the word of the living God, you know, you can't reject the word of God and say, you know, I've got Christ in my heart. I have Christ in my heart, but you disobey the word of God. I don't know what Christ in your heart means. You know, every word of God is pure.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You cannot turn down some part of God's word and be claiming that you have this and you have that. Read again. John 15, the first few verses. He said it repeatedly. You know, except you abide in me, you know, you cannot bear the fruit that he's looking for. And there is a kind of fruit that God is looking for. The fruit that God is looking for, the right kind of fruit, can only be born in our lives if we make the Lord our dwelling place and if we let our life be his dwelling place as well. That's the time that you can bear the right kind of fruit. Now, you can bear any fruit you want, but if that's not the kind of fruit that he's looking for, then it's no good to him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
So whatever you plant, if you plant citrus, maybe you plant orange and so forth, you know, that's what you're looking for on that tree. You're not looking for something else. You can't plant an orange tree and expect it or be, you know, find banana over there and say, I'm happy with it. That's not what you wanted. If you wanted banana, you would have planted banana in the first place. You know, but so what God planted, what God wants is what he wants. We cannot make up our rules as we go. Some people say, well, you know, I just do anything I want. People don't say it exactly like that, but the behavior is like that. You may not say it with your mouth that I can do anything I want, I don't really care about the Lord. But if you disregard the word of God, that's exactly what you're saying. That's exactly what you're doing. You must obey every part of the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why in John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus said this, if a man keep my saying, now that's everything, both written or spoken, you know, everything that God has written and everything that God is saying, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, what about all those people that died? Well, I don't know how much of his sayings they kept, you know, but I know the scripture cannot be broken. If we keep 100% of his saying, hallelujah. I believe that, you know, Jesus, we said this before, and I will say this again because we are coming closer to the coming of the Lord. That's why we keep hammering on these things. Jesus already tasted death for every man. So that's already done. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a better way to go to heaven. That's by walking with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Walking with God and being translated just like Enoch.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God already proved it in the Bible that it's possible. He left himself a witness in the Bible. Elijah went in the chariots of fire. Enoch went in the ball of light. And they all went. And till today, they are not dead. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, that's what we expect when we give our lives completely to the Lord. Every inch of our lives, let him have dominion. And let him have a dwelling place. Now, the question once again is, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. But where is my dwelling place, saith the Lord? Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Where is the place, you know? Where is the place? There is a path which no fowl knoweth. There is a secret place of the Most High. And if you get into that place with God, and you allow him also to have a full dwelling capacity in your life, no restrictions. When those two events become one in our lives, then we are headed for the translation. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And I believe Enoch was translated. He didn't wait for the whole group to be translated. Amen?
Amen.
There was no group that was translated when Enoch was translated. You know, so today we are waiting for a group. Well, sure, at the end of the age, there will be a group of people. Paul said it. You know, we which are alive and remain. Hallelujah. But at any point in time, if a person can approach that light and keep going deeper into that light until they are completely light, I believe that God will take them. Praise God. And they don't have to be by death. Praise ye the Lord. Jesus said, there be some of you that stand here that may not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming in his power. Well, people have translated that any way they want, you know, and they say it means this, it means that. But I believe that there may be some people there, just like Jesus said. Because no word that Jesus said will fall to the ground.
Amen.
How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
So if he says some people will be here and will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming in his power, well, I believe there were some people that did not taste of death. You know, there may be some people that you haven't heard anything about, just like Enoch. Well, if it wasn't written in the story about Enoch, would you have known about it? Just because it was written. Well, how do we know that Enoch was the only person? We don't know that. You know, we don't know that it was only Elijah. Praise God. You say, well, that's way out there. Well, that's if you think that God is restricted to human laws. Or if you think that things are impossible with God. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Anything that we've spoken here today, you may think that, well, that's this and that. The apostles himself, they said that. He said, well, no man can do that. You know, when Jesus told them something, he said, and they said, well, Jesus said, well, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's something that we want you to do today. By the grace of God, we don't want anybody to be left behind in this church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, and the way that you are going to not be left behind is in your daily walk. You know, don't think that someday some spiritual transformation will just happen. God will just come down upon you and boom, you're down. No, it is today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You start walking with God right now. Some people are not walking with God at all, and they are thinking that someday, by some magic, you know, they will just be changed and they will go. No. You know, this thing is working in us already. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We are being transformed from glory to glory. It is happening already. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are being transformed, changed into light from glory to glory. Don't wait until, you know, you read it in the news. You know, it's millions have disappeared. And they will make light of it just like they did in the days of Elijah. Even the sons of the prophet that knew that God was going to take him, when Elisha came back without Elijah, I said, well, maybe the Lord dropped him up over some mountain or somewhere. Let's go look for him and so on. You know, they didn't actually believe. Even though they knew that something was going to happen, when it happened, they, you know, they talked it down and so forth. That's the same way. If you think that the world is going to, the only people that will have, you know, real sorrow will be those who knew that they should have been a part of it. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But for the rest of the world, they will explain it away. They are going, just like even the religious sons of the prophets, they explain it away. You know, so they will explain it away. But I promise you, it is real. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we are singing these songs about the Lord's coming. And we are looking for his coming. And it begins today as you begin to allow him to take over every part of your life. Amen.
Amen.
If you're looking for that blessed hope, listen to this Titus chapter 2. He said, verse 13 and so on. The grace of God that brings salvation, hallelujah, has appeared unto all men. Teaching us, see, that denying ungodliness, you got to get rid of that, and worldly lusts. We must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present law, this present life, and this present world, looking for that blessed hope. Hallelujah. Woo! And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. But you cannot be looking for that blessed hope if you first do not deny ungodliness and worldly lust. If you are not living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, not just in heaven, right now. Hallelujah. Make the Lord your habitation and prepare him a habitation in your life right now. Praise the Lord. I want the praise team come back up again. Hallelujah. Come on back, praise team. And I want you to sing that song with me, everybody, that Jesus is coming soon. And if he's coming soon, you better make preparation for the great celebration that's going to happen in the skies. Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want everybody to sing with us. And as you begin to look for the coming of the Lord, you know, two things that you must do. You must make the Lord your dwelling place. And secondly, these two things go together. You must also make your life God's dwelling place. Every part of your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen.